audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
This is a Psalm 76. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle. That's Jerusalem. And his dwelling place in Zion. It's repetition in poetry, you know, but it's talking about the same place. There broke he the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword, and the battle, Selah. What it means is, one of the things it means is that it matters where you are. David was able to stop the plague there at Ornan, the Jebusite's house. That's where the temple went, or his place, the resting floor. That's where the temple was put. It matters where you are. You can't have Jerusalem in San Diego. You can have San Diego. San Diego can be blessed by the Lord, but what I'm talking about is a spiritual truth. I'm not saying anything wrong with San Diego. You can have Jerusalem wherever you are in the spirit, but let's just look at it natural here. There's only one Jerusalem. What do you think? Everybody's fighting over it. But the enemy wants Jerusalem. Why? Because it matters where you are. I'm talking here in the natural. It matters where Jerusalem is. God chose it. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. It flows out of Jerusalem. His name is great there. It matters where you are. And I know some of this may be, what is this guy talking about? What's he doing? Just stick with me a little while. Let's think of this spiritually now. In other words, there's a place you're supposed to be. It's a place God picked, and that was Jerusalem in the natural. But it's also a very spiritual thing too. And what's in the kingdom? The New Jerusalem. Okay, now let's take this totally spiritually in our lives. There's a place you're supposed to be in the Lord. There's so many people that act as if they want to be somewhere else than where they're supposed to be. But you just find where you're supposed to be and prosper. Whether it looks like you're prospering or not, you follow God and do what He says. Trying not to say things that are real good, but might not be the thing to say here. There broke he the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword, and the battle. It's because you don't mess with Jerusalem. Unless you get so far, well, you don't mess with it, but if you're in charge of it, somewhat to speak, in other words, you've been given an authority in it, and if you just forsake it, then you're in big trouble. But the enemy better not attack Jerusalem if you're in the will of God. Just like the enemy better not attack you. I mean, what a terrible mistake he made trying to attack Jesus when Jesus was on the earth. What a doofus mistake! He lost everything by doing that. In other words, if you're where you're supposed to be spiritually, nothing can touch you. That's where Psalm 91 comes in. Yeah, shoot the arrows, they can do whatever they want to. But the shield keeps them from landing. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There broke he the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword, and the battle. You're more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men might have found their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a dead sleep. It's easy to win if you're in the right spot. You notice the places where God just totally did the whole battle. They didn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. The angels of the Lord did it. It said, the Lord set ambushments among them, or to them. Wow. I mean, sometimes I've awakened in the morning and everything was taken care of. The closer we get to that place, that spiritual place where we belong, where we're supposed to be, and we're talking about a place in the Lord. We're talking about a place where God's God. Where we just let Him do it. Not that we just don't do anything, but where we let Him do it by faith, then He does it. What's wrong with the whole huge areas of the church today is that we're trying just so hard as we can to do what God's supposed to do. I don't want to put anybody down. I just hate negative talk, you know, especially if it's directed against me. But people aren't listening. That was supposed to be a joke. I don't want to knock other people. I just want to tell you, a whole lot of the church is trying really hard to do God's stuff instead of their stuff. Their stuff is to trust God. What do you think the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years? They were trying to do it themselves, even to the point of some of them wanting to go back in Egypt and set up again. God's not into going backward. The only thing they were supposed to do in Egypt was maybe go down and have another battle and knock them out. Not way back then, but maybe later. Or maybe go there for a little while like Jesus did. Jesus kind of did what Israel did. Go there, be protected for a while, then come out. There's a time when you come out. And you know what? When it's time to come out, a whole lot of the people that are with you sometimes want to stay. That's the way we are. We are human beings, and we're spiritual too, but human beings get in a comfort zone and they want what they have forever, but God's wanting to take them on to much greater things. So they don't want to change. Well, let's just keep it where we are. Let's just be a slave and let's just eat this food down here. At least we'll get to eat. This is kind of risky, God sending food in the air, falling down from up above somewhere or flying in. Kind of risky. What if they don't fly? Well, then you can just go back and be a slave then. What was Moses' big sin? Moses' big sin was trying to do it himself by hitting the rock. Didn't need to hit the rock. Just talk to it. The Red Sea opened up by him lifting the rod up. Didn't have to strike anything. The big sin that man does is trying to do it themselves. And this is, you know, we've been working on Hebrews. And Hebrews is about that too. You know, I had that marked. And, oh, there it is. It says in the last of three, I'm jumping ahead of myself, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Not letting God do, believing God to do what he could do. And what did they come at? What did those 10 harebrained spies come out and say? No offense, but they're harebrained and hair-spirited. What did they come out and say? They came, we can't take the land. Whoever said you could take the land? Nobody ever said you could take the land. God said he'd take it. And they put it on themselves, and they're talking about how big the people are in there. Well, with their attitudes, they couldn't have whipped a tsetse fly, let alone big giants with big people and iron chariots and all that. That's not even the issue. The issue is we've got to trust God to do something. But great areas of the world, sprawled out, vast areas, are trying to do what God's supposed to do. And there's this whole thing of man and how great man is, and God and man's got the power in him to do that. Look, if man was so great, they would have done it by now. The idea is God will do it. said they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. And it says, if it says there in Hebrews chapter 3, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Hardening your heart is unbelief. Because the only place you're going to get what you need to believe is from God. And listening to God. Oh, it's just so disgusting. Wow. It says here in chapter 3, and Moses truly was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. However, Moses isn't God. But Christ, that's God the Son, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Let me get in my sports illustration here. I wouldn't want to go one sermon without it. What I tell Johanna is, you may make a great play, but you've got to hold it. You might get to the ball and really look good. You catch it, but then you take your eye off it and you miss it. You start out good, you look good. Everything was great. The only problem is you didn't keep your eye on the ball and catch it. Or you do keep your eye on the ball and catch it. And you bring it to you and you look so good, but then you throw it 10 feet over the first baseman. How do you stop that? Which she's hardly ever does that. But how do you stop it? You stay steadfast and concentrating until the end. Oh, they were griping coming out of Egypt to some degree. But you know, they get over the Red Sea and they pass the Red Sea and, man, this is great, let's have a dance, but let's get all upset here in just a little while. They were so quick to get back into the natural and see what the natural was doing. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we shouldn't care too much about what the natural's doing. We ought to care what God's doing. And the way you know what God's doing is you stay hooked up and you stay listening. I've got a book. I've told you about the book. You're probably tired of hearing about this book that I've got. It's called The Listening Side of Prayer. Yeah. And I've read some of the book now. It's not one of these books that I don't read at all. I'll tell you one thing. The Purple Pig and other stories, I've read a lot of that. And I thought I gave it back to Dana and found out I didn't. I've still got it. And it's falling apart. Now I got to fix it. Yes. And I got another one, and Doug took it. Now I don't know what Doug's done with it. Got a new one. Doug's got it. Or a used one or something. I think it was a new one. Now he's got it. He hadn't given his to Dana. I mean, the least we could do is give Dana a new one.
I'm going to have to read it again to remember what it's all about.
Well, I've told you a lot of it over the years. But this book, The Listening Side of Prayer, I've read some of it, but the title is so great because there's a listening side to all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. This is working on me. I went to Galveston one time. We did. Went to the aircraft museum there, and I got to see a B-17, which I think is what my dad was in. But what really blew me away was, which I don't even know what you call it now, instruction room or whatever. It's the room they went in with all the desks in it where they got their instructions for the next day when they would get into the plane and go off over whatever country, Germany. Wow. And I said, this is so amazing. They told them where they were going and what they were going to do and gave them instructions. Anybody know what that's called? You know, Kent? You've seen it in movies, right? They all come in this room and they've got a blackboard up there and they tell them what they're going to do. It's their instruction.
Situation room.
Oh, okay. And they listen to all this stuff and then I guess they get some sleep and then in the morning they get up early and off they go. My dad did this. I think he's an utter hero just for doing it. I don't know how many times he did it, but they went down and he didn't have to do it anymore. I think they ran into a plane or did something. I just always remembered he didn't tell me much about it other than he landed in an apple tree and got sort of cut up, scratchy. It's a good thing he didn't go into a jujube tree. Well, I can't ask with all the
really?
Those things. You know what I'm talking about? With all the sticks, thorns. Man. My mine's up about this tall now. We'll see if it really takes off or not. It's got a cedar tree that needs to be removed close to it, though. I think it takes a lot of water. But can you imagine? Can you imagine this? If they go in a situation room or the whatever it is, and nobody talks, and nobody tells them what to do. They don't even know when to start out. You talk about needing information. They're telling them when to go, where to go, all the stuff they're supposed to do. And what if nobody tells them? Or if somebody tells them and they've got something in their ears and they don't hear a word, or they're just making jokes to each other. Wow. Isn't that what a person's doing that doesn't understand the listening side of prayer? Oh, I'd like to tell you that story. Maybe when I turn it off, I can tell you. It's just it's not proper to probably right here. But something that happened last week, it was great. Great thing happened. Well, I can tell you generally what happened. The Lord gave me this impression of something that happened an old couple of years ago. And he was trying to tell me, this is what's going to happen again the same way. Exactly what happened. But I believed it. I think it's important to hear something like that. Know it's God. Believe it's God. Let him work it out the way that he wanted to. The listening side. There is a listening side. There's not just, well, we go out. Let's think of all the plans we can. Let's think of all the plans we can. We got an inkling what we're supposed to do. Now let's just figure it all out ourselves, not listen to God at all, and then just see if it works out. Well, I can tell you right now, it's not going to work out very good if you're not listening. Now some people are listening, they don't even realize that's what they're doing. So, I mean, God will help you. That's about all I got to say about that. Scott?
Let's look at a few scriptures tonight. First of all, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We need to hear it again. We know this, but we need to hear it. And we need to study it, and we need to believe that it's true. Proverbs chapter 3, and start with verse 5. Says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does that mean? That means with all your heart, with every bit that you have. That means turning things over to Him when it's so easy to pick it up ourselves. And then it says, and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own experience or understanding, especially if it comes from the flesh. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. I hear from time to time that people are wondering, am I in the right place? Am I doing what God told me to do? Or am I supposed to move or change? Am I supposed to stay here? Am I supposed to do some other ministry? Am I supposed to be missionary? But we trust all those things in the hand of the Lord, and don't lean to your own understanding. That means don't try to figure it out in your mind. In all your ways acknowledge Him. That means every way, all your ways, acknowledge that God is with you and working through you, and He shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You know, I think this healing scripture has a lot to do with being in the center of God's will. In the center of God's will, there is healing. Because things just go according to the way God ordained them. And you are in the favor of God. You're in the blessing of God. The Lord is going to direct your path. It will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. So then, let's look over and see what another Old Testament scripture in Psalm or Isaiah 55 says, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So it has to do with learning to get God's thoughts. Now someone said, it says here, my thoughts are not your thoughts, but they should be. Nor are your ways my ways, but they should be. In other words, we as followers, we as Christians, believers, are supposed to get the thoughts of God, supposed to get the ways of God and know them. So are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your ways. Doesn't mean that you can't know it. Doesn't mean you can't attain it just because it's higher. You got to go up higher to get it. And I believe that God is waiting for you to come up higher, and He'll give you more gifting. It's almost like you need to learn how to work the gifts you already have been given so that you can receive more gifts, gifting that comes from the Holy Spirit. Here's how you get it. Look at verse 10. For as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The word of God is the thing that will bring you into the wisdom, bring you into the higher thoughts and the higher ways. It's the word of God that comes down from heaven, comes down and says what? It will accomplish why He sent it. The word of God will do what it's supposed to do. It will prosper those for which it was sent. So all we have to do is tap into the word. Tap into God's word that comes down like rain. It says, rain does not enter back into the sky, it comes down to water the earth and do its thing. The word of God is in that same way, will benefit. Now let's look what Jesus said about these kinds of things. Look at verse 19 in John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus answered, John 5. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. It's not a hard thing. It's not difficult. It's not magic, or it's not even mysterious, except Paul called it the mysteries of God. But what it is getting in tune with His Son. Jesus said, I could not do anything except what I saw the Father doing. So let's start opening our spiritual eyes and our ears to hear and to see what the Father is doing. For the Father loves the Son, verse 20, and shows Him all things that He Himself does, and He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So there is some marveling, but it has to do with connecting into seeing what the Father wants to do, knowing His thoughts and knowing His ways. Verse 24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." So he's talking about passing from away from the flesh into the spirit, from the death unto the life. We're looking at the resurrection of Jesus this season right now. And he was brought out from death into life. Is the same way that we are brought out. From darkness to light, from death to life, and from falsehood to truth. We're brought into those things by Jesus Christ. He says the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Verse 30 says the same thing again. We've come back around. Jesus says, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and as my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." What did Jesus do in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed. The night that he was betrayed, he was praying, seeking God, and getting ready to do this thing that God commissioned him to do. Sent him on a mission to redeem the whole world. That's a heavy load. So Jesus was praying, and there again he surrendered to the Father, to what the Father wanted done. Is that right? So Jesus is praying and said, "Lord, if there's any other way, let's do it. But nonetheless, not my will." At that point, he knew what the Father's will. There was no change of plan. There was no difference coming about. But that which they had before the foundations of the world, they had decided this. Before they created the world, it says Jesus was crucified for us. Before they spoke and the earth came to be and you came to be, God created you in his own image. Before all that, they sat down and decided how this plan would work to defeat the devil and take back the possession that was God's. See, Adam gave away the authority that man had been given on the day of his creation. God pronounced a blessing upon him and told him to manage this earth. Take care of it. Name the animals. Manage it and subdue the animals and the fish and the birds and the sea, and let all of it come under his authority. And what does he do? He gives it away. That power and that authority to rule. But the Father and Jesus had sat down already, talked it over, and said, Jesus said, "I'll go because I'll be the lamb, the Passover lamb that they need to place the blood upon the doorpost of their hearts." So here he says, "I can of myself do nothing because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." So this is interesting to listen to Jesus' prayer. See, Jesus knows the thoughts of God before he's ever spoken to. He knows God's thoughts. And so when he said, "Is there any other way? Let this cup pass from me," he knew already that there wasn't any other way. This was the way they prescribed, and that the trap had been set. And the bait had been set for Satan to fall into the pit. And he would lose all of his authority. And Jesus took it away and stripped it out from under him. And he came out of that place and he said, "Behold, I have the keys of hell and of death." The keys. I have the keys of hell and of death. I was dead and now I'm alive. Revelation. So, Jesus subdued himself or humbled himself so that he would obey the Father's will in this situation. Now, this is important. Because when we get in that tight fix, that tight situation, that trouble that might manifest itself, they're about to crucify you or me for something that you didn't do. What are you going to do? You've got to know God's will in this situation. So, like Don said, you got to have this listening side. Learn to know Him. Paul said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now, you want to know His power. The power is to be changed into His likeness. But Paul said that I might know Him. If you know Him, then you will obey and you will be in the right place. You'll have this wisdom to know God's thoughts better than before. Better than before. When a child starts growing up, they don't know what the parents are speaking at first. But as they get acquainted with the speech and what it means, pretty soon they pick up this with these words quickly. And sometimes they can read your thoughts. The children can read the parents' thoughts. That's kind of, I'm not saying we should do that, but that's kind of what we've been given the Holy Spirit to do. To know the mind of God. You know how I know? Paul said, "You have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ." Okay, if you have the mind of Christ, then let's use that. Let's operate in it. And let's say to the Lord, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Lean not to your own understanding. If Jesus leaned to his own understanding, he might not have gone to the cross. But he didn't. In that way, he acknowledged God, and God brought him through. So, he'll bring us through in the same manner, in the same way. So, Jesus said, "I can do nothing without the Father." Without his voice, without his instruction, without seeing what he wants to do. Sometimes you'll hear it, sometimes you'll see it. You'll see a vision, or you'll see something, a picture of what God wants to do. Either way, God has ways of getting you through dreams, visions. He said, Joel 2, "In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And they shall dream dreams and see visions and hear his voice and listen to the Spirit." So let's pray so that we can have a better listening ear. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that the word has come down from heaven. Does not return void, but it does accomplish what you sent it here on earth to do. And Jesus was that word. And he came to accomplish what you sent him to do. So it is with us, the church, today. Help us, Father, be connected to your higher thoughts and your higher ways so that we will know that we too can do the Father's will. And we say, Lord, emphatically, "Not our will be done, but thy will be done." In Jesus' name we give thank you. Amen.